For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast is brought to you by our good friends at Bet Online, your number one source for all the summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, to the NHL playoffs. Get all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow all of your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport there is. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Check out BetOnline, not only where the game starts, but a proud sponsor of the Cannon Fire Podcast.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pop, ball to the five, touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again. Fire the cannons, Bucks.
It's first and goal.
Down, 18, dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon, goes up with it,
and to the side, Derek Brooks 30, Brooks to the 29, he's gone, Derek Brooks all the way, there it is, the dagger's in, we're going to win the Super Bowl,
and there the cannons go, fire them, keep on firing them.
Hello and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast, live on YouTube today. Talking about all the latest and greatest headlines regarding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am your host, Rhett Matthew, joined alongside me, as always, my good buddy and co-host from BucsNation.com, Evan Wanish. Joining us on the show today, a first-time guest, which is kind of unreal to think about just because of how far we are into this thing. I mean, we're 400-something episodes into this podcast, and not once have we ever thought to talk to Tampa Bay legend Rock Riley joining us on the Cannon Fire Podcast today. Rock, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, I finally have solved a bucket list to come on this podcast, to be on Bleav, to be on with you guys. I've known what you've done, and I'm just honored to be here. I'm trying not to get too fired up because it's only June. You know, wait until, you know, we get to training camp, but coming off of what I saw at OTAs and minicamp, I'm pumped up, but I'll try to be calm, gentlemen.
You know, it's easy for people to overreact this time of year, and we have terminology for that on the show. We call it the Kenny Bell effect, because there's a lot of guys that look really good in t-shirt and shorts, right? But when you're starving for football content the way that we are right now, there's a lot of things to discuss, and we got a whole smorgasbord of topics here today, but Rock, overall, just want to get your thoughts on this Buccaneers roster, and honestly, what's got you the most excited coming out of OTAs? Because the Bucs, coming off of a pretty decent playoff run that not a lot of people expected last season, they're looking to improve. Is this roster good enough to do that, you think?
That is a big question, but what you just said there, Rhett, I think you hit it on the head. They loved the fact that nobody thought they would do anything with $78 million dead cap money and the greatest quarterback of all time leaves the building. He's gone. You don't have any money to spend. You don't have a quarterback other than Kyle Trask. What are you going to do? Everybody predicting them to be last. And the fact that they got into the playoffs and won a game in the playoffs and went as far as they did with a very good Lions team, they re-signed all the veterans. And you know, you have no idea what that does in the locker room. I've been told that for the 30-some years that I've been in NFL locker rooms, when players see that guys are getting re-signed, that have put in the time, they put in the numbers, they think, man, they take care of their own people. So the vibe is really, really good. And then when the new players came in, Sterling Shepard, we're hearing from guys from other organizations, they're like, it's a family atmosphere. Everybody has a, you know, they feel it. They do feel that. And they like the fact, once again, including GM Jason Light, he's like, I keep receipts. Good. Keep predicting. Everybody's predicting the Atlanta Falcons or Kirk Cousins. They still don't think. And the first guy, you see that, the one prediction, the first coach that's going to get fired or on the hot seat is Todd Bowles. They actually like that. So I think that's the thing that I got. The feeling that like they're together as a team, they really like Baker Mayfield. Look, they know what the GOAT did, changed the culture, greatest of all time, but he was 45 years old. He wasn't able to hang. He had no, like the guys that were in their early 20s, they just didn't, you know what I mean? He's a big businessman. He was great. He was great for the organization, but Baker is like one of the guys. So it's a really, really good vibe. Now, does a vibe mean that they're going to win 11, 12 games and go to the Super Bowl? No, but I think overall, the feeling inside One Buck, the new and remodeled One Buck, they built a studio, they completely redid media room, locker room, everything that was on that punch list that all the players said that they, Joel Glazer told me, they took care of everything. They redid the entire, all the fields at One Buck. It's a really, really good feeling, the vibe at One Buck.
The thing is, just like you said, well, you know, when you run it back, I think with a team that had the success, right, the unexpected, I guess, success that the Bucks had, you know, not only winning the division, making the playoffs, but winning a playoff game, right? You know, that really speaks volumes. And just like you said earlier, Rock, I think, you know, hanging with a really good Detroit team, right? Like, yeah. they had a chance to win that ball game. You know, it wasn't like, you know, they go into Detroit and, you know, they're clearly outmatched and they get blown out. No, like, right. they hung with them. And, you know, there was times, I bet you, that Detroit were even maybe a little bit nervous that they were going to drop that game. Right. So I do think it does mean something, you know, when you run that back, you take care of your guys, you re-sign Baker Mayfield, you give him that big contract after, you know, you're the team that took a chance on him, right? He's sort of betting on himself on the one-year deal. It really pays off for him in the long run. Not only do you re-sign him, though, you bring Mike Evans back. I know there's a lot of talk this offseason about would Mike Evans be back, this and that. I think for the first time really ever, there was talk like, oh, he might go elsewhere. He ends up staying. Levante David, there were some retirement murmurs. He ends up staying. So even bring back Jordan Whitehead, right, who was a fixture of that Tampa defense that won the Super Bowl. You know, you end up tagging and then re-signing Antoine Winfield Jr. So, yeah, you're rewarding your players. You're rewarding not only your players, but your homegrown players. I know Baker Mayfield's not a homegrown player, but, you know, we talk about Mike Evans, you know, Antoine Winfield Jr., and even Jordan Whitehead, Levante David. All these guys were drafted by Tampa Bay, and I think that's a sign of a good organization as well. You know, a lot of people complain to me a lot of the time, well, the Bucks never, you know, they never sign a big free agent, or they don't make a huge splash, which I remind them, they signed the greatest quarterback ever just a few short years ago. But yeah. I also say, you know, they don't have a lot of cap space because the good teams are using their cap space to keep their own good players, you know, so that's where the cap space is going. That's a good sign when you don't have to sign, you know, two of the top 10 free agents, you know, in the class, because that means you don't have many holes. And I think Jason Light said it best earlier in the offseason that, look, if a team would have came out of this free agency with Mike Evans and Antoine Winfield Jr. and Baker Mayfield and Levante David, that team would have been pumped, right? But now that the Bucks just re-signed those players, I think fans are you know, a little bit cautious about running it back. But I do think, like you said, that locker room, right, in that locker room, the feeling among players, it's going to help. right? Because at the end of the day, they're spending the most time with each other. And I think this is a really tight-knit group. I think you saw that. They faced adversity many times this past season. And whenever their backs were against the wall, and it was looking like they might not even make the playoffs, right? I mean, they go into that game at Carolina, don't look good, find a way to win that game. They lose that game, they miss the playoffs. Who knows what this team looks like right now? It could be completely different. But they come together and they end up, you know, making a run there. So I do agree that running it back was really good for the locker room. I have no doubts that the feeling around practice around One Buck right now is pretty high.
I can tell you guys this, Mike Evans, honestly, we're there every week. We're inside that locker room and he does not like media. Now he likes fans. He's a great teammate. And all last year, he would speak either on a Wednesday or a Thursday. It used to be over at his locker room. Then they put up the big banner. They didn't want people using their iPhones. Sometimes you got guys with just a towel on, you're going to get anything. So they encourage, they bring over the player. But then sometimes they're controlling the narrative. But they do a good job. So they bring him on. And he was like, no. And he looks at us now. And I'm like, man, he is an unhappy guy. And I was noticing like all year, I'm like, man, Mike Evans just unhappy. I think it was twofold. It was number one, he wanted to stay here and get that deal done. And they didn't do it. They wanted to see, because you don't want to pay a wide receiver so much money. Normally they regress. Father Time is undefeated. And he kept coming through every week. He did better, man, than he did even when he was younger. And then he was excited. He's got a lot of friends around the league, and you don't know if this organization is really going to, you know, continue to go ascend. He already won the Super Bowl. He had the greatest quarterback of all time. He did like Baker. And it was like, I'm excited. I don't know if you guys saw the video. He was at an NBA game. One of the reporters came down. He goes, it's kind of exciting to see where we're going to possibly be. I thought he's going to be gone. And then he started thinking about it. And then you start talking to other teams. You're looking. Then he's like, man, I like Baker Mayfield. I like the Wirfs. I like being with Godwin. That helps me. I'm always going to get double teamed or triple teamed. And then he woke up. He told us he woke up one night, middle of the night. And he told his wife, he's like, let's stay. And she goes, you mean it, babe? Yeah. All right. We'll call in the morning. And then he decided to stay. So there, it was kind of shaky. I think even on him, like, let me experience, see what else. I've already won the Super Bowl. Levante David, I asked him the other day, what was it when he thought he was done? He wanted to go out on top. He's still playing at a high level. He thought he was done. I know some guys that worked in the building. He was saying, he said goodbye at the end. And he told me the other day, he goes, it wasn't that long. A lot of times these guys are in a long season. They're beat up. They got to take a couple of weeks to just like chill out. And then their competitors, they're only in their early 30s. They're like, they want to start playing again. And then he was like, I love this defense. Oh, we're getting Jordan Whitehead back. Oh, man. And Kenny Britt has done a really good job. And so he said it didn't take him that long to come back. And then Antoine Winfield, he's tremendous. He's got his deal down. He wanted to stay. So all in all, it's really good that you got your best players and homegrown, like you said, here. But it's also a young man's game. So you have to compliment with young guys. You can't be old. They were 2 years ago. Yeah. They knew that they were slow and older, and they wanted to get a little younger and faster. So we'll see, but right now those are some good points.
I know there's a lot of easy answers to this question from our perspective, but Rock, you're a guy that's in there every single week. You talk to Buccaneers management, you talk to the players, folks. You can also check that out over on the Rock Stops Here podcast. Great stuff. I think new episodes every week.
Every week, every Tuesday, every week.
Yeah, great stuff. On a recent one, you talked to first-round pick Graham Barton. You talked to Walt Golston a couple of weeks ago as well. I mean, again, all the Bucs content you could ever ask for over there. But I wanted to ask you, again, a couple of the easy answers to this question. What do the Bucs have now that they didn't have in the past when they just simply weren't a good team, when they didn't have a good reputation as an organization? You know, I know an easy answer to that question is, well, a GM that has a consistent track record. Thank God for Jason Light. You've got star players now that want to play here. Antoine Winfield, Tristan Wirfs. We talked about all those guys. But, you know, the perspective of a guy that's there every week, a guy that hears what's being said in the locker room, who's been around all of it, when you look back at Bucks teams in the past, you know, even as recent as 2019, Dirk Cutter's final few years in 2017 and 2018, what was the main difference in the organization then compared to now? Just because from the outside looking in, it's like, yeah, they finally built something. They've built a winning culture, but I feel like it's just not that simple.
That is a great question. And I have been covering this team since they were practicing at UT that long ago. I came down here when Sam Weish was the head coach. I remember the years that they had the Super Bowl and that run with Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks and Lynch. Those guys policed the locker room and the team. The coaches didn't have to worry about. They were winning. Their defense was incredible. And if you did not show up at practice or you blew an assignment, you were going to hear it from Sapp. You were going to hear it from Brooks. And they won the Super Bowl. They were winning. They were consistently in the playoffs. And that's an unbelievable thing to have. Now that they have guys on this team, like even a young Tristan Wirfs, won a Super Bowl under the GOAT. Evans, Godwin, when the offensive players get in the huddle, even Sterling Shepard, the new guy, 31 years old, played with Baker at Oklahoma. He came in. He said he looked over. He goes, I always knew it watching Evans. But boy, being here, seeing how he works out, seeing what he does with routes, Godwin, same thing. They've got guys that have won a Super Bowl. Antoine Winfield, they look up to him. I think that's what it is. When Dirk Cutter was here, they would talk a good game. Nobody had experienced it. Now, the one guy that had experienced some modicum of success was DeSean Jackson. And DeSean Jackson, I remember Dirk Cutter was asked something about DeSean Jackson. He's like, he's got a lot of street cred. Street cred is really big in the NFL. It's huge. It's huge inside. Street cred's big. And he goes, these guys look up to DeSean, look up to DeSean. Then I go in the locker room, I see DeSean Watson. He's over in the corner. He's with these guys. He's complaining. He's bad-mouthing. He's one of those kind of receivers. So, I mean, you see what I'm saying? The difference between when Shiano, Dirk Cutter, like nobody's been there and won it, and you don't have those guys here. That's what they have. And Baker Mayfield's got some of that. Now, he hasn't won anything, but you'd be surprised. Like, he's like a linebacker mentality. When he lowers his shoulder trying to get a first down, the players love that. So you even have that, even though he hasn't won. But he was a first-round pick, and you know what I mean, and he loves it here. So I think, Rhett, that's what it is. It reminds me of when I was in the locker room, and you will walk in, and you're like, I swear to God, Sapp would fit. Don't feel like Sapp is looking at me. Like you know what I mean? He knew everybody that was in there. If you said something stupid, oh, he was going to rip. If you guys were new to the locker room and you said one stupid question, oh, my God. I'll tell you this one little story. There was one guy. He was a news reporter for Channel 8. They made him into a sports guy. And I don't know. And Sapp used to sit at his locker. He had his big chew, puts down his towel, and spit right in the towel. He'd miss. Sometimes you get near your feet and you're there, you're afraid to say anything. And this guy asked some question, and Sapp was like, he ripped him a new a-hole. And then next Wednesday I come back in and the reporter comes over. He's like, what can I do to make it better? Well, I didn't. And Sapp was looking at him like, are you kidding me? Get him out of here. But I mean, that was a little more extreme. It isn't quite like that. But I think that's the biggest thing. It's not that long ago since they won the Super Bowl. They've been winning. Hell, they've gone into the playoffs the last 4 years. They won the NFC South. I know the NFC South sucks, but they won that 3 years in a row. So you got that. You got those veterans. I think that's it, Rhett.
You got ballers.
I think that's another thing why a lot of people, right, when Brady, left, a lot of people wanted him to sort of tank, right? A lot of people said, well, yeah, okay, it was a fun 3-year run, but here comes the rebuild, right? Well, that's what you lose then, right? Well, when you, okay, let's trade away Mike Evans, let Levante David walk, let Jamel Dean walk in for AIDS. Like, that's what you lose. You lose that culture, right? You lose that, and that's tough to get back. You've seen it, Rock. You know, you've seen a lot of bad football, right? A lot of bad football teams over the years, and you've seen a team with no identity. You've seen a team with no culture. How difficult was it to get it there in the first place, right? It's so difficult. You don't know when it's coming back once it's gone. It could be, you know, I'm sure if you went back to 2002 and after the Bucs won that Super Bowl, even 2003 after they missed the playoffs completely, they probably thought, oh, you know, yeah, we're going to bounce back and stuff. It would be another freaking, you know, 20 years before they were even relevant again almost. So, you know, it was it's easier said than done, right? To build a winning culture. And to me, that's one of the most important parts, not even just in football, but in sports in general, right? Whenever you have a team, you know, I know I'm personally not a Lightning fan, but the Tampa Bay Lightning have a winning culture, right? They have a culture. And I mean, yes, they've won multiple Stanley Cups. They've won President's Trophies, this and that. But, you know, that's why when the playoffs come, you can never really count them out, right? Because they know how to win. They've got the guys that know how to win. The Bucks now have the guys that know how to win, right? Yes, you look at that Super Bowl roster. If you read a list of the roster that won the Super Bowl, a lot of those guys are gone, right? Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barron, Ndamukong Suh, Leonard Fournette. A lot of them guys are gone, but there's still a lot here, right? There's still a lot of guys here, and I think it actually helped Tristan Wirfs and Antoine Winfield Jr. That was their rookie season, right? Yeah. Like, I think that helped. I mean, one heck of a rookie season, but I think that even helped them, right? That helped them grow up pretty fast in the NFL, right? You're playing meaningful games in December. You're playing meaningful games in January, and then you're playing the Super Bowl in February. So against our, you know, arguably, you know, the greatest QB that we've seen in the past 10 years, right? Just come out of nowhere in Patrick Mahomes. I mean, to shut him down in the Super Bowl like that, a guy, you know, going back to back for the first time since Brady did it. So, yeah, when we talk about that culture, I think it's easier said than done. And now the Bucs have it. It's all about, you know, trying to work to maintain it. And they're going to have another good opportunity this year. Yes, I do think the Falcons are improved. Yes. Just because, you know, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, right? He's a good NFL quarterback. But, you know, a lot of people are picking the Falcons to win this division. I don't see why the Bucs can't win this division, right? I look at the Falcons and I still see a roster that is fine. But, you know, when you compare it to the Bucs on paper, it's pretty darn close. And I do think with the Bucs' experience of being there and done that, you know, they have more experience than the Falcons do right now, right? More experience of winning. And that's why I would give them the edge right now to win that division. Because, like you mentioned, you know, those Super Bowl runs and, you know, having the guys like Sapp and Lynch and Brooks back in the day who had been there, done that. When those guys talk, you know, it's sort of, it means a bit more, right? You know, when those guys, you're going to listen a bit more. When a guy like Tom Brady talks to you, you're going to listen more. And now when a guy like Mike Evans talks to a Trey Palmer, a Jalen McMillan, they're going to listen, right? And I think that's almost like invaluable.
You know what, Evan, you, I was just thinking, you are right. Like, you can say it is hard to do. I think the Lions have changed that culture. My brother-in-law works on Park Avenue in the NFL offices in New York. Goodell's office is here. My brother-in-law, Andy, is here. They call him RG. And he was telling me just 2-3 years ago, the NFL was going to, because that franchise was floundering, and they try to help the franchises that are just doing bad. They had the, they throw them a draft. That's what they do. They're not going to go to the cold weather places for Super Bowls anymore, but you know, I will throw you a draft and you had the 700,000, but they've got that now. They look at how far the Lions are. They've got that. And I think when it started with the Bucks, it was during COVID. I know, Rhett, you know your boss, Bubba the Love Sponge. He was down there with Deion Sanders, with Brady. Remember that? With Shador Sanders and all. That was great. That was great stuff. But
got a lot of good views out of that, too.
that was tremendous. That was awesome. But it was at that time when Brady came here, and it was COVID. And he went to the, was it Carrollwood Country Day? I think that was it was the private school in Tampa.
Berkeley Prep.
Good job, Rhett. Berkeley Prep. So I know the guys from the Times that they were getting word, the high school, okay, I think Brady is running these practices over there. And they went over there time, this and that. He was having the practices. He just got the gig. He came to Tampa. He got everybody's number. He called everybody on the phone. Hey, I know you're doing this. I saw you at guard. They're like, Brady knows me. This is what Brady did. Every single guy he called, we're going to meet at this private school in Tampa, 7 o'clock. And I mean, when you get there, we start at 7 o'clock. And the two reporters, the Times, they went, they had to go around. They couldn't go in. They got up on this pickup truck. They were looking over the fence. They start seeing there's a gate there, these expensive cars. And they're like, well, these kids have so much money. Maybe it's their trust fund. Maybe it's these high school kids. No, here's Ryan Jensen. Here they come. And they worked out in the heat. And I saw some of the video. They even got a chopper. I don't know if you guys remember that. There was a chopper.
Yeah,
I think it was News Channel 8. And Brady would be like, no, I want you running the route. Boom, boom, here. That's how he was. When we used to see him at practice, I mean, even after he did his thing, now it's time for Blaine Gabbert and Trask. He's still working on moves. And if somebody didn't run a route right, he fucking cursed them out. He wanted everything done. But it took the GOAT to get it to like that and then to win. And then now this is where we are with Baker Mayfield. I don't want to keep bringing up the GOAT because the GOAT is long gone. When I talked to Bruce Arians the other night, And Bruce is great, and he's real happy now, and everything is cool.
I'm glad. I'm glad that Bruce has become a fixture around the organization. You know, after his retirement and Brady's return, I think people were worried he was going to go away off into the shadows. But no, he's still out and about around Tampa Bay. He's still got his yearly golf tournament, the charity stuff with the Arians organization. I mean, they are doing a lot of good, especially within the Bucs fan base. And I'm glad that he's still a familiar face.
He loves it here, Red. He loves it here. He loved his time in Arizona. Yes, he spends time in Georgia in the mountain cabin, but you guys are too young yet. But I know a lot of guys, former coaches, players, they're like, I can't just spend it with my wife. My wife says, go do something. You're annoying me. So you can only spend so much time retired with your wife in a cabin and playing golf. But I digress. I asked him, I said, hey, Bruce, what did you think of the roast? And anyway, oh, no, don't even. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm like, what happened? Did you not get invited? It was all because him and Belichick are now the buddies. But you know what he does, Brett and Evan? He calls GM Jason Light every single Monday, offseason and after the games. And they discuss. They're really, really tight. And he trusts. He's going to tell him flat out what he thinks. Also, for the draft, he does a lot of film work on quarterbacks. Even though they had Baker, you got Trask, they like Lil Wolford, you never know. And so they study all the quarterbacks, and Bruce Arians does know quarterbacks and offense. So he breaks down film. But what he did say, guys, and he told me and he's told everybody this, the year after he retired and now, Todd Bowles comes in, he said he was around a little too much. It's Bowles' team. Because what would happen is I'd see him at practice. He was still on his golf cart. And sometimes he'll go over, he'll park, he's there. And then like a couple of the offensive guys, even Gabbert at that time, and not the GOAT so much, but they'll come over, they'll start asking him something, talking, because it's offense, you know. And he's like, you know what? I got to pull back. Let Todd Bowles, he's going to sink or swim on his own. So he's not around a lot. But you're right, Rhett. He's very involved with the foundation, and he still is involved, especially with Jason Light.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So I wanted to, you know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, the NFL is a young man's game and stuff like that. Let's talk about the newest players that are on the team, the draft class, right? The 2024 draft class. The Bucs had, you know, a lot of options at 26. They had a lot of needs too, right? There was a lot of needs along the interior, but potentially edge rusher, potentially corner. You know, they land on Graham Barton from Duke, who presumably will play center. Tell us, what did you see from Graham Barton? You know, I know it's way early, right? But it's tough to also judge offensive linemen without the pads on. But what did you see from Graham Barton, and how do you think he can transition to the NFL?
I think he's going to be a really, really good one. Now, that being said, Every offensive lineman that starts as a rookie is going to struggle. He played at Duke. He's very, very smart. But I can tell you this, the NFL Network reporter, Sarah Walsh, was there over there the other day, and I was interviewing a guy, Yaya Diaby. He's coming up on the podcast, and I was waiting for Luke Getteke, and I was standing right there, and she was set up to talk with Baker Mayfield and Liam Cohen, who's the new offensive coordinator. And PR brings over Mayfield, and Mayfield goes, oh, thanks for the warning, man. Just busting chops with the communications. Like, you didn't tell me I was supposed to talk to the NFL Network. And I overheard, and she's like, tell me about Graham Mayfield or Graham Barton. And he goes, stud, just like that. Now, what I've noticed is, first OTA, Hainsey was the starter. Graham Barton was running with the twos day one. Day two, they moved Graham Barton with the ones, Hainsey with the twos. Then the rest of OTAs in minicamp, they were kind of mixing and matching, and now is the time for this because you don't know who's going to go down. Somebody might even have to move over, even though Hainsey's been a center. And what they're even doing is they will have Mayfield go over with the twos, under and under the gun, and Trask is with the ones. So right now, they're mixing and matching both Hainsey, who knows everything, but it's pretty obvious they want Barton to be the starting center. And everybody else that I talked to, Cody Mauch, Getteke, they said, for a rookie, man, he's really coming on pretty good. And you can tell, too, when you see him. I was right there when he threw out the first pitch at the Rays game. And it's so funny when a football player, he's warming up with Raymond, warming up. And then he decides it was over and he's like, just get it there. Don't bounce it. That's the biggest thing. Don't bounce it. And he ends up just like, it was almost like an Ephus pitch, but at least he got it there. And oh my God, the crowd, big man like you, you can't throw a foot baseball like that. But the thing about it is he, when you look at him, like, he doesn't really have any body fat. He's just a big kid. Well, like when you see Cody Mauch and you saw him last year, like, wow, he needs to put on weight. Mauch is just built. He's bigger than Hainsey. You got to need that. But he's not going to be Jensen right away. But your answer, Evan, I believe he's going to be a good one, but expect some growing pains.
Yeah, I think it's tough on the offensive line. You know, we saw it with Luke Getteke a couple of seasons ago. His rookie season was rough. Started at that guard spot, and then year two, they're like, you know what, we've evaluated this guy enough, we need to go ahead and step in here and make a change. He is, I guess, thrived, you know, found new life in his career at right tackle, and I think he's going to do a great job there again in 2024. Before we move on to the other rookies, I do want to ask you one more question just about the offensive line. There's been a lot of contract talk about Tristan Wirfs, and I know that this offseason feels like it's hard to fit it in anywhere just because you've got the Mike Evans contract. You've got the Antoine Winfield Jr. contract, especially. There's been a lot of discussion about kind of what the holdup may be for one reason or another. It seems like they're taking a little bit longer than expected to sign Tristan Wirfs. Do you have any insight to that?
No, that, you know what? That is a good point. I mean, it is business, but Greenberg, Mike Greenberg, that's the name. If your viewers don't know behind the scenes, the guy is an unbelievable capologist. There was a chance that he's going to be plucked, man. I hope he continues to stay. And here's the thing. Jason Light told me 90% of the time, if you really, really like and want a player to resign and the player really, really wants to be here, you find a way to get it done.
Yeah.
And soon as mandatory minicamp, here he is. He's got the jersey. He's got everything on. And he didn't participate because he didn't want a chance getting injured. You never know. I've seen guys go down on non-contact. You never know. But he was right there in every drill. He's there. They love him. Baker loves him. He's just so damn good, man. He's going to be, you know, it's so much money that it's not that easy. So I would be, that would be the biggest shock to me. That would be the biggest shock to me if he is not here. I wouldn't, I, But you're right. Hasn't gotten done yet, right? It's just like, oh, the Rays are getting a new stadium. I haven't seen it. You guys seen a shovel in the ground? I haven't seen a shovel in the ground. USF's building their dang thing. So until it gets done, he is sitting out. But I would assume it's going to get done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Yeah, and yeah. I think Tristan Wirfs is a guy that's, you know, of good enough character that he's not really going to shy away from it. He's never going to give you the cold shoulder as far as the media goes, and he's never seemingly going to pitch an attitude with anyone in the organization. He understands it's a business, and, you know, I know that he is as young as he is, but we've spent a lot of time talking about Buccaneer greats like Mike Evans and Lavonte David. Antoine Winfield and Tristan Wirfs are soon to be, you know, guys in those ranks, so I think it'll work out just fine. I think he is a long-term Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and I think he will ultimately go down as the best left tackle we've ever seen play football here in Tampa Bay. But let's get into the other side of the football here as we start to talk more about the rookies. Getting into second-round draft pick from Alabama, Chris Braswell, and that outside linebacker room. There's a lot of discussion about that as well, about how well-equipped they are going to be to get after the quarterback ultimately this year. You got guys like Joe Tryon Shoyinka, who seemingly has to prove the most this season than he has ever. You know, he's got to show us a lot. But Yaya Diaby counting a lot on his development. You got Anthony Nelson, another guy who kind of has to step it up. The Bucs paid him a lot of money last offseason, and I just don't think he delivered last season. But looking at that position group with the addition of Chris Braswell, how do you think they are going to hold up?
That's a great one. To me, that is a question mark. You gotta be better, man. You have to. It always starts up front. It's like if you build a house, you gotta have a strong foundation. You can have chandeliers, you can have the nicest countertops. You gotta have the base. And it's gonna start in the interior and coming from the outside linebacker position. Braswell, listening to the defensive line guys, they think that he's got some skills. But again, I couldn't tell too much just in underwear football. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to be good. Joe Tryon Shoyinka, this is it. I've even talked to his position coaches. This is it. You got to finish. He's incredible. You know, like Sapp used to say, build like Tarzan, play like Jane. Now, I ain't saying that he's Jane, but he looks unbelievable. He's got the quickness. He's got the speed, but it's time to produce. Anthony Nelson, nice player. Yaya Diaby, let's see if he can take it to the next level. I think he led them in sacks 7.5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Yeah. Team leader.
But, yeah, he's got to learn. Like now, when I talk to guys, I'm covering the NFL over 30 years, like now you got to start learning. You know the systems. You're not having to think. You can react, but now you also got to learn some different techniques. You're going up against the best of the best, and I think that's it. He's very good against the run. He's got to work on that a little bit, Yaya Diaby. But that, to me, is the biggest position. Look, Shaq Barrett was great when he was on his game. Remember that? And then after the Achilles, he was never the same. And he was one of the reasons why they were able to get that ring. You're going to need that. And to me, we'll see once they start putting the pads on. But I think that, I think that's a big question mark for me, man. And Bowles has even said, we got to get the edge. We got to get it better. Getting to these quarterbacks. They're so good. They get rid of it so fast. The Bucs have to improve in that area. Yes.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's a lot of drama around that situation as well. You talked about the departure of Shaq Barrett. Well, the Bucs bring in Randy Gregory, another veteran at outside linebacker, and he hasn't showed up. I know that he is actively in a lawsuit with the NFL, so that may have something to do with it. But now the ultimate question becomes, he didn't show up to any of mandatory OTAs, likely going to be fined over $100,000. At this point of the offseason, are the Bucs better just cutting their losses, or do they expect him to kind of come in towards training camp and be ready to go, you know, kind of be bought in, if you will?
Yeah, that's another good one, man. You're hitting it on the head. Lavonte David gave us a little bit the other day, last day of minicamp. He was talking to us in the media scrum. We were asking him about Randy Gregory because he knows Randy Gregory. And he did the usual, you know, I try to tend to just pray for him. And a lot of guys, sometimes guys have some issues, and I hope he gets it corrected, but I've talked to him and I expect him to be at training camp. Now, that was from Lavonte. I know he does have the lawsuit against the NFL, but they wouldn't have signed him if they didn't do their homework. He's had some issues, man. And I mean, mental issues and, you know, substance issues. So there must be something there. We talked to him on a Zoom. He had the orange on. He sounded like he was ready to go. And then in the meet, we're all like, oh, he's going to be gone. We'd be like, hey, is Randy Gregory cut today? That was kind of like the thing behind the scenes. But that's what Lavonte said. He's expecting him to be there. Now, I don't know if Lavonte's just saying that. So that's all I got on that situation. But it isn't a big hit. It isn't a big hit. Right. If they don't have him, that was going to be depth anyway. You know what I mean, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And you know, while we are talking about this defensive line, before we move on back to the other side of the football here, wanted to get your thoughts on Vita Vea. He was one of the biggest headlines coming out of training camp. Just how, I mean, it's hard to believe we're saying this about Vita Vea, but how slim and trim he has showed up to the facility. And he talked about losing a little bit of weight. Now, I think he says he's still playing around 340 or something like that. But there's a lot of discussion about, one, his ability, but two, his endurance this upcoming season. I think the biggest thing that I've heard about, you know, him losing this weight, I know he's getting a little bit older, 29, almost 30 years old, but if you can drop 50 pounds, 40 pounds when you're pushing 400, how many more downs can he stay on the field per game, I think, is the million-dollar question. But yeah, slim down Vita Vea. What do you think?
That's what they need him, man. You got to be able to play. That's the thing. Now, Vita went out. Vita's a big ball buster.
Yeah.
And he can be a wise ass. And I say that with a smile on my face.
I think he's hilarious. I think he's one of the funniest guys on the team.
There was a guy, a friend of mine, he's with Channel 7, ABC Affiliate, and he's shooting Vita, and Vita looks over at him, and he just gives him a finger. And then he starts grinning. Like, why are you shooting me? And then, you know, Vita's so big, the guy's like, is he going to try to kick my ass? No. And then Vita, we're asking him, how much weight did you lose? Well, I gained weight.
Like, right,
he's a ball buster. But he does look a little slimmer. He went out to Portland, Oregon. He goes, sunny Portland. Boston balls again, because Portland's not sunny like here. And he worked out with Ndamukong Suh. He said Ndamukong Suh was on him for the last couple of years. Come work out. Come with me to the offseason. And he goes, I kept saying, no, I finally did. He went out there for 2 weeks. Ndamukong Suh he doesn't miss a snap. He doesn't miss a game. And that's why he went out. And he said he did learn some things, changing up his routine, how he works out. He said he also learned a lot of other things, like life. Ndamukong Suh has given him advice on business, finances. I'll tell you guys another story, different time on that behind the scenes, but I don't know. So Ndamukong Suh got a lot out of going to be with Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea did. Yeah. And that, I think that's going to be good. He likes playing next to Kalijah Kancey. That's another one that if you look at him, he's kind of short, but he also looks a little bit different body wise. And he was telling us that he now, what he learned, you know what he did? You know what he does? He goes down a YouTube hole and he looks at the greatest sackmeisters in the NFL, current and even going back into history. That's all he does, is look at guys getting sacks. I think that's unbelievable. So I think you need those two. Like I said, it starts up front. Stopping the run, and then breaking on through. So we'll see. Vita Vea, yeah, he slimmed down a bunch. He wouldn't tell us exactly at all. He wouldn't tell us how much he lost at all. But you can see he looks like he's in better shape. Oh, the one thing he did say, this was interesting. I was telling my wife this the other day. He's like, when you get older, you can't push yourself working out as much as you did when you're younger. For the results. The results are going to be a little bit here. He goes, a high school kid can push himself. He can try do so much. And then, okay, here's his result. When you're older, you can't do that. So he knows that. And I think being with Sue sometimes, because I've covered the NFL, it's over 30 years now. And all the players, Golston always says this. This is when you improve your game now. Once you get into the season, it's maintaining, just trying to get ready for Sunday and what's the game plan on who you're going up against. There's no time to try to do different things and improve. So now is the time that you get better in the offseason. Hopefully Sue helped Vita Vea with that.
Yeah, and then obviously, you know, putting it over to the other side of the football, I want to talk about two more rookies. That's Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver out of Washington, third round pick, and running back Bucky Irving. Now, I know, you know, the underwear football really plays into the skill positions favor, right, of the wide receivers and running backs, but and it will matter what happens really when they put the pads on. But what did you see out of those two guys? Because I think there's a lot of excitement, you know, from not only, you know, inside the organization, but the fan base, you know, about those two players potentially playing some pretty big roles this upcoming season.
You know what I do, Evan? I always listen to like the veterans that were on the field with them. That includes Godwin and Baker Mayfield. And they were raving about McMillan. He's got a lot of skills. But again, when you're a rookie, you know what I mean? It takes a while to figure out you're going up against the best DBs. I think he's going to be good. Bucky Irving, oh my God. It jumps out when you see him on the field. You know what he told? Was it Jason Light or was it Todd Bowles? I think it was Jason Light when they called him here, and he goes, I never get tackled on the first guy. Like his entire career. That's his thing. Yeah. And when you watch him, even underwear football, holy crap. Like you can't teach that. And he's kind of like confident. He's got this little thing. It's funny. And he's like, you know, but so I got a couple of different guys that I noticed when I'm watching special teams. Trey Palmer is back there. Bucky Irving. Who was the guy that was surprised? Remember, they cut him. I was there the day before, and Devin Tompkins. Because we all saw, you know what happened in the video and stuff like that. And it was like, how did this guy get cut? I just saw him number one reps the day before. Something's going on. And then we saw the Instagram, what happened, blah, 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 blah. So there's different rules this year. We're going to see some returns. that may be more of a factor. So that's changing, and special teams coaches talk about that. But Bucky Irving is one of those little guys. He's a scat back. He's very hard to tackle. So if they use him in the right position, he can be a weapon. And I think Jalen, listen, let me tell you, remember last year, who's going to be the number three? Who's going to be the number three? Well, there's an influx right now. This Rakeem Jarrett, oh my God, he caught one, boom, boom, right in the end zone, one-handed. Rakeem Jarrett, there was another one that looked really good in OTAs.
Was it Ryan Miller?
Ryan Miller's okay. There's I'm thinking forgetting the other.
I know Cephas Johnson's still on the roster, I think.
Yeah. It'll probably come up to me in McMillan, Rakeem Jarrett. No. Sterling Shepard, I don't know. Baker Mayfield likes him. Here's the other thing, since we're asking about rookies and this, that the new guys, every single new guy was like, this heat and humidity, man. So the guys that came from Washington, McMillan, the guys in the Pacific Northwest, oh my God. The day Sterling Shepard was there was the coolest day, probably 88 with high humidity. He told some of the younger guys, go ahead. You ask me something?
Was it Cameron Johnson?
Wasn't Cameron Johnson.
See, now I'm just throwing names out there.
Okay. No, Shepard McMillan. Maybe it was Rakeem.
We've got Cody Thompson, Raleigh Webb.
No. Those low-end guys.
Tanner New?
Oh, Trey Palmer. Trey Palmer. No. So that's going to be a battle. That's going to be a battle. But I think McMillan, he might have a shot. You can see. You can see when guys come out there, you can see they have. But you know what, Rhett, you brought it up in the beginning, man, and I remember years ago when I was at 620 and I'm broadcasting first day of training camp and I'm in the end zone and I'm watching and it was Michael Clayton, and Michael Clayton had an unbelievable rookie year. And I'm like, oh my God, Michael Clayton looks so damn good. He is going to be unbelievable. And it was training camp. And what did Michael Clayton do after that? And I like you, Michael Clayton, if you're watching. So I always, same thing when I go to spring training and a pitcher's throwing like 95 and these batters are just trying to like, you know, there used to be a guy named Greg Vaughn, and he wouldn't even swing for like the first week just to try to track pitches. You can't get caught up in it, but I think the wide receiver position is pretty strong. And again, they see what Evans does. They see what Godwin does. That steps up their game.
I was a victim of the Michael Clayton rookie season hype. I begged my mom to get me a Michael Clayton jersey. And honestly, it's probably still laying around here somewhere. She got me a red Reebok Michael Clayton jersey, one of my first Buccaneer jerseys. I will always treasure it. But talking about that wide receiver room, yeah, I think that is the richest area on the team, if we're being honest. I don't think people are quite giving enough credit to guys like Trey Palmer, the way he stepped up in this offense last year. And then, of course, you have the veterans. You have a Mike Evans and a Chris Godwin. I think the only pair of wide receivers the last three seasons to have 1,000 yards between the both of them, or both of them finish the season with 1,000 yards, some ridiculous stat like that. They've been doing it well, and they've been doing it consistently well. But wanted to wrap up here and ask you about one more position group, really just one more guy on this offense, and that is quarterback Baker Mayfield. We can talk all day about the receivers. We can talk about these pass-catching running backs, the development of the tight ends, but none of that matters if they don't have a consistent quarterback throwing the football to him. I will say this. I'm a fan of Baker. I like rooting for him. After the 2 weeks in succession last season where he had a perfect passer rating in Lambeau and then kicked the shit out of Jacksonville the following week, after that, I was a huge fan. I have bought into Baker as the Buccaneers quarterback for now. Do you think under a new offensive coordinator and hopefully a revamped offense this season, can he improve? Can he take this Buccaneers team deeper into the playoffs this season than they were last year is my ultimate question.
I do. And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be a homer. If I didn't think it or if I didn't see it, I would tell you he has gotten leaner watching his passes this offseason, sharper, even crisper. Now, I think that he's got to improve on his deep ball. He was missing too much for me. And when you get those opportunities, you don't have, you're going to have to start hitting on a couple of them, man. And then that changes the mindset of the defense. All right. If they think that you can't go deep on us, then that changes everything. So that's the one thing that I want to see improvement on from Baker. But when he comes in, following the GOAT, that's what Jason Light told me. He goes, there is not many guys that can follow Brady. You've always heard it, like, even if it's after a legendary coach or a player or after Jordan, like, you don't want to be that guy. Yeah. And he did it. He did it. And they didn't have any cap money, and it was on the fly, and you're right. And this was his last chance to be a starter in the NFL. This was it. He didn't know anything about Tampa. He goes, I'm a Ranger fan. He came down here in Texas. He goes, I didn't know anything about Tampa Bay. He goes, you know what they told me? They love their hockey. That's what he said. He didn't mention anything about the race. He goes, they love their hockey, and it's hot. And so, and then, so what he was able to do, and being as tight as he is with the offensive line, it's so funny. When you get there, and they all line up. Now, under Arians, they never stretched as a team. Arians' philosophy is, when I tell you practice is at 3:10, at 3:10, your ass is mine. We're not going to be doing stretching. Well, we're going to start going. Yeah, yeah. So you stretch on your own.
What was the name of that Cleveland offensive line coach? We won two world wars doing push-ups, sit-ups, and jumping jacks. No stretching. None of this stretching crap.
Oh, that was hysterical, that guy. I forget his name. Yeah, he was hysterical.
Two world wars.
But – Yeah. So now they blast the music. They do the run. You know, they got the strength coach. He's yelling out stuff. And Baker's always with the offensive lineman, man. He hangs with the offensive line. So, yes. Now, granted, this is a new offense. And a lot of the guys were telling me, yeah, there's going to be similarities from last year, but it's all new verbiage. Mayfield knows a lot of it because a lot of it is what the Rams were using when Cohen was there. But still, Cohen then came from Kentucky. So he put his all new offense. So usually when you get a new offense, that's going to take a little bit as well, you know? So it's not like he's in the same system. But the other thing is, too, Dave Canales, he was an energetic guy. Everybody liked him. But he was learning on the fly. And I remember last year when they were going through that losing, and I remember asking him at one of the press conferences, and he came out and he was honest. He's like, you know what I've learned? I've learned that defensive coordinators are smart. What we're running in the first half and it's working, and I come out in the second half and I'm using it, and they've got it shut down. I got to learn. Seriously, he had never even called plays since JV high school. Yeah. And when you go to training camp or you go to practices, usually the offensive coordinator is out behind the offense and they'll come back. Sometimes they have they'll have a sheet and they'll have it up and they'll show play, stuff like that. He had a walkie-talkie. He was practicing, like calling plays into the Trask and into their ears just so he could get used to calling plays. So they were really behind the eight ball last year on that. At least it should be a little bit different. But again, I warn you, it is new offense. It is new verbiage. Sterling Shepard was like, my head is swimming. Scott Reynolds from Pewter Report, he's like, hey, did you see that the Giants are on your schedule? Do you have that marked down? He's like, marked down. I'm trying to get used to this heat, and I'm trying to figure out the plays. I was taking my kids to school last week. I was running, but I wasn't running routes against defenders. So it's going to take a little bit. So I don't know. Is this a better offense? I have no idea, but it is new. But but Baker, man, I think, because a lot of guys just hear 6:20, oh, he can't lead you to the promised land. How do you know that? How do you know that? He's not the guy that could lead you to a Super Bowl. Did you think Jared Goff was going to be able to do what he did? So I wouldn't bet against Baker Mayfield. I like him, guys. I really do.
Rock, we will wrap it up with one final question, and I just want you to lay it all out there. What do you think is your most outlandish take about the Buccaneers this season? What do you think that they are going to do incredibly well, or what do you think they're going to suck at? Do you think they're going to lose the division? Do you think they're going to win it for a four straight season? Where do you find yourself on Tampa this season?
Here's what, you know what? Show me that you're going to be able to run the football. They have sucked for years. And every time I see Liam Cohen, that's what he says. When you talk to offensive players, you talk to linemen, Cody Mauch, worse. We're going to be able to run the football better. Do it. They had never been set up to run the football good. Rashad White, he thinks he should have been a Pro Bowler last year. He loves a microphone. He walks around the locker room with this thing. It's called Tiny Mike.
Yeah.
And he's interviewed, but he loves the limelight. Well, show it. You say that you're one of the greatest. You're like a Le'Veon Bell. The offensive line, you're going to be built to run the football. That's the biggest thing for me. They're always talking about it. Show me. And you got to be able to. Brady would always tell us, man, he'd come out and he's like, that was a pass-a-thon. When you're in a pass-a-thon, it's impossible to win. You got to have the defense on your heels. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think Evans is going to get his 1,000 yards. Godwin's going to be there. Baker's going to be good. Offensive line will improve each week. But you got to be able to run the football. And they're talking a good game. But Rhett and Evan, show me.
I agree. We talked a lot on the last episode, actually, about the potential of this run game. Because, again, the Kenny Bell effect. People love to get excited about the potential of this running back room. And I think Rashad White having over 1,500 all-purpose yards last year, like, that's a major accomplishment for sure. I think he had a solid jump in production from year one to year two. But again, it still doesn't feel like they're there. It still doesn't feel like we've seen a lot of games where you can basically use the run game to put the rest of the team on their back. Like, I don't think we've seen that. And you go back to 2015, it's been almost a decade. When they had Jameis Winston, they were always a top 10 passing offense, but the run game couldn't do a damn thing. It didn't matter if it was Doug Martin, Peyton Barber, Charles Sims, Kenyon Barner back there. It just has not been productive. So I hope that changes. I hope under this new offensive philosophy with Liam Cohen, I hope we see some more effective running of the football. We talked last week about, you know, Dave Canales being an inexperienced offensive coordinator. It showed. That game against the Saints, they're down 20 points in the third quarter, running outside sweeps and tossing it, you know, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It didn't make a lot of sense at the time. So I hope we can see some improvement there. And I think for the sake of this Buccaneers team improving on where they were last season, they did a lot of things well. But you can count on Baker Mayfield to be much more consistent at week in and week out if he doesn't have to carry the offense and you have a run game that can complement what they hope to do. But Rock, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us this week on the Cannon Fire podcast. Where can the people find you on social media, and where can they find your content?
Real Rock Riley, because somebody had Rock Riley. So whenever I signed up for that years ago. So it's Real Rock Riley on X and Instagram, Rock Riley on Facebook. Just check Real Rock Riley. I got all my stuff there. And you are right, though. Both offensive linemen and defensive linemen, they all say the same thing. When a team is running the football, it takes the will out of the defense. Yeah. And remember, I think it was like last year. Oh, running backs are not paying running back. Oh, man, that position isn't needed. That's kind of changed now again. Here we go again. So I was just thinking about that when you were saying that. I think that's the biggest thing. But no, Real Rock Riley, and I appreciate it. This has been my, you know, you guys now, my bucket list. I'd like to come back anytime. Absolutely. I love you guys, man. You guys are great. You guys are great, man.
Great talking shop with you, Rock. Always a pleasure. And we'll have you on again for sure. Okay, talking cool. about the running back position. They got a running back on the cover of Madden this season. The highest paid running back in NFL history.
There you go.
In Christian McCaffrey. So I definitely think it is important. And hopefully we can see some precedence by Liam Cohen regarding the running back position. But that's just about going to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, for this week's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast, you can find our show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm not going to call it X, at Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show, and of course, Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucs_daily. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL, and check out his written work at BucsNation.com. You got anything in the hopper, my friend?
Yeah, I don't want to say too much because it's going to be stuff that sort of combines with the YouTube channel here. So, but we'll be looking at some breakout players for the Buccaneers and also players that have the most to prove in 2024. So there's going to be a lot of guys that have a lot to prove. We talked earlier about how, you know, they like that they're being doubted. So there's going to be a lot of guys that have a lot to prove.
A lot of great content on the way for you here as well. YouTube.com/CannonFirePodcast. Last but not least, you can find myself on Instagram and Twitter at Rhetticus, Rhettakus. If you follow me, I will follow you back. But that's the show. Thank you once again to our special guest, the legendary Rock Riley. I'm your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We will talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you for listening and go Bucks.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.